And I did not realize this, and I was supposed to give you guys a memory verse. And I did not give you a memory verse last week. But it's the same subject, so I can give you the same memory verse. And even though we're talking about Caleb from the Old Testament, we're going to use a New Testament memory verse. So it will be 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We used it in our message about Caleb and how he was willing to work with other people. He was a ruler, a leader of the nation, but he still humbled himself, and he wasn't like the men who wouldn't put their shoulder to the work. He was a leader, but he got out there down in the trenches and worked. And one of the so you got that 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 1, and let's read that. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now the key point there is, we then as workers together, we're all in this together. This church doesn't belong to any single person in this room. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the rightful head of it. We have a man of God who filled a position appointed by God to be our leader, and as he follows God, we are to follow him. There's no doubt about that. There was a church, I think it was Pastor Cruz, when they incorporated Victory Baptist, oh, I don't know, 38, 39, 40 years ago, in the corporation papers, you know, that said, who's the owner? He put Jesus Christ, mailed it in, and it worked. So, you know, pretty good, huh? Because Jesus is the head, and he owns all of this. All right, now, we talked about Caleb very quickly. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll jump back into our lesson. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. We pray you'd be with us and bless us. Father God, I pray that you'd please speak to our hearts now, and help us to get something from the message that would help us to become more Christ-like. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know who you tell the memory verses to. I still have, because with my mind, I have a hard time remembering. So who hears the memory verse? I hope it's not me. Okay, we'll get that figured out. But anyway, you have a memory verse, and so you have a week to get it done, right? A week? Okay, get that down. All right, Caleb. He did not allow his position to hinder him from being just an ordinary laborer, much like Jesus, the Master, Jesus, God Almighty, God in the flesh, got down in the dirt and washed the feet, the dirty feet of human beings, which is absolutely amazing. I cannot fathom that. I have a hard enough time figuring out why God loves me. I mean, if I knew me, I wouldn't love me. Only my wife could do that, and I get that, but then to stoop and bow down in front of these guys and wash their hot, smelly, dirty feet, and that was God. I think he's trying to teach us there's no job that's too humble for any one of us, and that's one of Caleb's great personality traits there, and he was able to work with other people. And that's where we got our Bible, our memory verse, 2 Corinthians 6, 1. He worked with people. Have a saying. It's amazing how much work you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit.
Amen.
You can get a lot of work done if you don't care who gets the credit. But if you care who gets the credit, there's going to be a lot of bickering and fighting, and just enough stuff won't get done. And by the way, the guy in the back who always asks me what's the title, this is just Caleb, the man who followed God, part 2. Make it simple, all right? Caleb, he was willing to listen to the man of God, which is so, so important. Hebrews 13, verse 7, and in Numbers 13, 3, we can see he was listening to his leader. He was even willing to follow a sinful man, because when it gets right down to it, as you know, we're all sinners. Every single one of us are sinful. And yet he was recognized that God ordained the position of pastor, and pastor heads up the church. Pastor heads up all the different ministries of the church, and he appoints men and women to serve in them at his discretion, you know, with biblical guidelines, of course. So he appoints and qualifications, and he appoints them, and so they are serving. But you know what we get down to when we get down to the bottom? A sinner. You know what we get when we go back upstream to follow the chain of command upstream to the pastor? You know what we end up with? A sinner. Now, before you judge those folks, who's in the middle? All the rest of us sinners, and we're all sinful people. But he was willing to follow a man who made mistakes and didn't cause a church split just because he didn't get his way. He was obedient, instantly obedient, and he was willing to be in the minority. Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies who went into the land who came back and gave a favorable report. And the whole nation was ready, at one point, was ready to stone them. And they went into the tabernacle and stood there with Moses and Aaron and a few other, and that was it. The rest of the millions of people were opposed to them, but they were willing to stand for what was right, no matter what the census or the consensus was. So they wanted to stand in the minority. All right, now we get to today's lesson. That was all by way of review, introducing today's lesson, and that probably means we won't get into much of it, but let's go. Caleb, that's a man, I would love to have Caleb as my friend.
Amen.
You know, everybody talks about this, they want to see this person, this Bible person when they get to heaven. And there's a lot of good people.
Yes, sir, there is.
Of course, the greatest thing about heaven, anyway, is Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So maybe after a couple of millennia, we might get around to introducing ourselves to other people. But the greatest thing about heaven is going to be Jesus.
Amen.
But I would love to have a Caleb in this earthly life to be my friend.
Amen.
He was faithful, and he was loyal. Okay, he was faithful to God, and he was loyal to his friends. He was loyal to Moses. He stood with Moses when the rest of the nation, besides a handful of men, were willing to stand and face death, but they still served God, and they still was loyal to their leader. He was faithful to Joshua. Read the Bible. Find me some place where Caleb was critical of his leadership. Find me some place where he turned and went back. No, 80 years old, he's ready to attack. The rest of these young guys, they're ready to quit. They're ready to settle for the peanuts of the land. Just for, okay, God gave us this land. We've conquered his little portion of it, and we'll divide it up. We'll all fit in here. We don't need. No, he says, I want that mountain, and he went out there after at 80. I'd love to have this guy for a friend. Loyal, faithful. And all of us should emulate this. We should be faithful and loyal to God and to God's service. And we should be faithful and loyal to our spouse, our family,
Amen.
To the house of God, and to the man of God.
Yes, sir.
And we should be faithful and loyal to our friends.
Yes, sir, we sure be.
I don't have many friends because I'm careful in selecting them, but let me say this. I do have this saying, and this is original with me. One of the few things I say original. Well, Brother Ponte made it, amen? Hey, by the way, you need to start coming. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, you need to come. Man, we did an illustration, and Brother Ponte played the ungodly man like I've never seen anybody play that. It was just natural, amen? So come on Wednesday nights, amen? Good Bible study. Thank you for letting me pick on you. I was teasing you. I hope I didn't embarrass you or anything. Okay, ungodly people don't get embarrassed anyway, so. Thank you. Amen. Oh, I'm supposed to behave because Pastor's here.
Amen.
Faithful to our friends. Anyway, the saying that I have is, if I was ever your friend, I still am.
Amen.
We need loyalty.
Yes, we do.
That is so, faithfulness and loyalty is lacking in society.
Yes, sir.
Now, that being said, we need to be careful who we choose as friends. Okay? Because a friend is somebody you allow to influence you. An acquaintance is somebody you know, and you can, now, don't misunderstand me. You should be friendly to everyone, but friends with few. Now, this would be a good place to make your selection, amen? Start making it right here. But let me say this. A friend is someone who you allow them to influence you. An acquaintance, they don't influence you. You know them, you may work with them, you know, if you're backslidden, you may go play golf with them or something like that, you know. But other than that, you don't allow them to influence you.
Right.
Because friends will influence you.
Yes,
and a true friend will influence you for God and for good. If not, then they cannot be your friend. Wait a minute, what you just said, if I was their friend, I still am. Yes. See, I can be their friend. And they're not my friend. And so if they leave the Lord's service and you know, trying to get me to do wrong, I can treat them right and I can try to influence them for good, but not allow them to influence me. Now, in the Bible, there's two examples I want to give you of friends, and we can see the different directions that the friends led them. You're familiar with the Bible verse. But Ammon had a friend. Ammon had a friend. Was it Jonadab, I think? No. Who was it? It doesn't matter. I think it was. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And at any rate, I didn't look it up. I'm just telling the story, all right? Amen. And his friend led him into fornication. It'd be rape, actually. It's his half-sister. He led him, planned, devised a way he could rape his half-sister. Told him how to do it. Worked it all out for him. And then Ammon raped his half-sister, of course, 2 years later. Tamar's full brother, Absalom, who was Ammon's half-brother, killed him.
Yes, he did.
So that didn't work out too well. So his friend destroyed a family and caused the death of Ammon. But also in the Bible, there's a story. I love the story of David and Jonathan and their friendship. Jonathan is one of the most underrated Bible characters. To me, I think he's one of the greatest characters in the history of mankind. He was a fabulous man who loved God, served his dad as best he could when his dad was backslidden and ungodly, and he still served God. Remember, he was the one, he and his armor bearer was the one who went up and initiated the attack and brought the victory. God brought the victory, rather, because of his obedience to obey and his courage. And the story said, it's told, it's true, it's told that Jonathan and David loved each other. And David said, with a love that passed the love of women. They had a deep, abiding love for one another. Jonathan did something that it's amazing. He brought David into his confidence. He brought David over one day. And remember, he's in line to be the king. And he said, I know God has chosen you. And he stepped down. He took his robe off, put it on David. He took his armor and gave it and put it on David and said, let us make a covenant that we will never be enemies, that when I am dead and gone, that you will take care of my family.
Amen.
And David honored that.
That's right.
But what a friendship that was. You see, your friends will influence you for good.
That's right.
Or for bad. So be careful who you choose as friends. Now, let me say this. This church ought to be the friendliest church in Tucson.
Amen.
If it's not, there's something wrong. But people don't, that's the initial. That's the impression we give. In reality, what people need is not friendliness. What people need is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And as a church body, and I tell every church body this, so Pastor, I'm not picking on folks.
Mm-hmm.
As a church body, we need to work at being a true friend.
Yes, sir, we do.
To one another. And that means entering into each other's lives as much as we can without being oppressive, without being, without bothering people to the point. But that also means visitors when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody ought to shake their hand.
Yes,
that's
sir.
A given.
Yes.
But somebody in a size congregation, this ought to befriend that person.
Yep.
Take them out to lunch. Amen?
Amen.
You eat anyways, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Take them out to lunch. Get their phone number, call them, invite them back, go pick them up, help them out a little bit.
Amen.
Take them to the grocery store, whatever. Because people need a friend. And I would love to have Caleb as my friend. Numbers 13, and we'll get into the new part of the lesson now. Numbers 13 and verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Now, these are the spies, the 10 other spies. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great statures. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And right there's the problem. How do they know what they look like to the other people?
That's right. Amen.
Perspective means so much. Well, actually, it means just about everything. And you ever talk to somebody and about a situation, and then you go and talk to somebody else about the same situation and say, were you guys at the same event? Nothing. There's no correlations don't even sound like you're at the same place at the same time. And what it was a perspective. The one person had a negative outlook and everything was wrong. The other person had a positive outlook and everything was right.
That's right.
Well, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but that's another point.
Yeah.
It's just the way you look at things will influence your decision making. These people went in and said, these giants. We're like grasshoppers to them. And they must think we're grasshoppers. No, they were scared to death. Look what happened when the nation did go in. They were scared of them. They were afraid of them. That's right. They should be, because God was the one who's going to fight the battles anyways. And so Caleb could have. Now, here's the thing you got to understand. I'm saying that he was not a vindictive man. He said, what's that got to do with vindictiveness? Well, the result was these 10 people turned the nation against obeying God. They didn't go in. God turned them away, and they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, just waiting for that generation to die off. Now, can you imagine Caleb for 40 years, knowing the truth, walking around, hurry up and die, will you? Hurry up and die. I want that mountain. He wanted to go in. He knew the truth. So he had to suffer along with everybody else, which, by the way, your sin does affect other people. So, okay. And anyway, he was walking around for 40 years, but I don't hear him complaining. You don't see anywhere it's recorded that he complained. But imagine what he must have felt tramping around that wilderness for 40 years. Anybody here under 40? We've got a couple young people.
Yeah.
I knew that. Longer than you've been alive, he's been wandering in the wilderness, waiting for these lugheads to die off so he can go into the land, which he could have got 40 years earlier.
Here we go.
He knew that didn't have to be, but yet it was. Yet never any hint of being vindictive. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. And there's a truth here that is sometimes hard to swallow. It's hard for me. It's hard for you. Sometimes, you know, Pastor, sometimes it's easy to preach Bible doctrine. It's a lot easier to preach it than it is to live it.
Amen.
See, what we preach, we also have to live. So in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 19, dearly beloved. Somebody read the next three words. Dearly beloved. Okay, let's do that all together. Avenge not yourselves. Are we supposed to avenge ourselves? No, it says avenge not ourselves. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, the problem with that verse is, God and I aren't on the same timetable. He will repay. He will repay. The problem is, I wanted him to repay him yesterday, brother. And he hasn't done it yet. But he will repay. And it's hard sometimes when you've been injured, you want to strike out, but folks, what we've got to do is we've got to learn.
Amen.
To practice what we preach.
We do.
And we need to learn forbearance, and we just need to learn to trust God. And besides, God can do a whole lot better job than I can.
Amen.
At meeting out justice. And if we would just learn when people offend us not to become vindictive, when people hurt us, not to be that way. That's not the way we're to be. We need to live a life, a Christ-like life. And I don't know about you, but I haven't reached that yet.
Amen.
With God's help, I'll get a little closer tomorrow. Yes, sir, amen, working on it. Mark chapter 12. Verse 28, Caleb was not a vindictive man. 28. That means he'd be safe to have as a friend because, you know, we all flub up and we even hurt our friends from time to time. We certainly disappoint them. And one of the scribes came and, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, and the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. Now, the first one, I like the theory, I like the thought, I try to do that one. The second one, okay, let's go to another point. Because love thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, if I'm hungry, I get something to eat.
Oh, amen.
If I'm cold, I go get a jacket.
Oh, yeah.
If I want to do this and have the capacity to do it, I go do it. Mm-hmm. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That means, brother, that if my neighbor is hungry, mm-hmm. I ought to feed him.
Amen.
That means if my neighbor is cold, I ought to clothe him. It certainly means that I need to learn some forbearance.
Yes, sir.
I'm just talking to myself. I'll get around to preaching to you in a minute.
Amen.
But man, that's tough at times, folks.
Yes, sir,
you know it is. And I think sometimes, if we'd be honest, we're not quite the Christian that we think we are.
Right.
And we need to spend a little more time in God. Well, actually, a lot more time. But at least I do. But we need to spend more time in God's presence getting help mm-hmm. in these areas where we're weak. Because I'm weak.
Yes, sir. You are.
You insult me, and I want to slug you. So don't insult me anymore, Brother Duffy. See, I'm fast and he is. I can walk up behind him, kick him, and run, and he can't catch me, you know what I mean? But you, if you, get a large stretch out there. Yeah, I bet. If you are offended by somebody, what's your first reaction? Well, be honest. To get even, right?
Get even.
You know, here's the thing. We are so unlike Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We get offended when somebody offends us.
Yes, sir.
Jesus didn't say, oh, he got angry. Yes, he did. But you know why? Because somebody had offended God. They insulted God, and he got mad. And how many times are we in the presence of people who curse God's name, and we say nothing?
Nothing.
It doesn't even bother us. It just rolls off.
Yep.
It's almost like we don't even hear it. Yet, if they were to say the same thing about us, we'd be fighting mad.
Yes, sir, we would be.
So Jesus got mad when they insulted the Father, did not get mad when they insulted. When they spat in his face, did he get mad? When they put the bag over his head and buffeted him, cuffed him, did he get mad? No.
No, he didn't.
No. When they lied about him, did he get angry? Let somebody lie about you, and how do you feel?
Bitter and angry.
There you go, brother. Exactly right, Brother Jeff. Bitter and anger, and you want to get even, and oh, I hate their guts, and we want to retaliate. So what do? We go over here and start telling people how bad those folks are.
That's right.
At least I do. I'm sure you don't. Brother Aponte, being the godly man that he is, falls to his knees and prays for him. Father, bless them.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
See, I'm trying to warm back up to him, man. Because he's bigger than I am.
Amen.
I told you I'd get around to preaching at you in a minute.
Yeah.
He was willing to get involved. Numbers 14. And verse number one, close my Bible. All right, back in the New Testament. Numbers 14 and verse number one. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. But Caleb, see, verse 2, it says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation of them, would God that we had died. These liars, would God that we had died in the land. Every time they didn't get their way, they would God I had died, would God I had died. And here, okay, go into the land, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to die if we go in there. They didn't mean it, they're just complaining. Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in the wilderness. Would God we died somewhere. I wish I was dead. But you see, they said no. But Moses, and Caleb said, no is not the right answer. You see, Too many of God's people don't want to get involved.
Yes.
We like our creature comforts. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is not the best illustration. It wasn't a Baptist. It's a lost person. It's Catholic. And they had two Catholic churches in the town we lived in. And she went to one in the summer and the other one in the winter. And, you know, I was door knocking. That's odd. Why do you do that? It says, well, the one I go to in the summer has a cooler air conditioning. The one I go to in the winter has a better heater. Well, I guess that's a good reason not to come to church.
There we go.
Do you know that you can have that temperature set? I don't care what you have it set at, brother. It's going to be too hot for somebody and too cold for somebody at the same time.
Right.
Now you fix that.
You
can't, okay? And that's just a poor illustration. But how many times do we get upset about incidentals that affect our creature comforts?
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, in just coming and sitting in church. That's not doing anything. Just coming and sitting in church. Brother Duffy, did I hear you say that room Fellowship Hall needs painted? Okay. Did anybody hear that? They didn't hear me. The Fellowship Hall needs painting? Anybody hear that?
Yeah.
Nobody's hearing me, brother.
Amen.
And so when are you going to paint it?
Yeah.
You're going to set a date and you're going to paint it. And you know when that Fellowship Hall gets painted? The parking lot ought to be full.
Amen.
Why should the parking lot be full? Because everybody drove over here to help paint. But some people don't want to get involved. And that's just a mundane thing. What about teaching classes, going soul winning, handing out tracts? How about greeters? If you have no other position in the church, you got to go out in that fellowship hall in between services. And when somebody comes in that looks like they don't know where anything is, they're probably a visitor. And you got to go over there and make them feel welcome and shake their hand. Get involved.
Amen.
The work here is not about you. It's not about me. Not about you. Not about me. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to get involved. If something needs done, it's a trivial thing. It's one day. Is this my water? Good, I need one. If it's not, I'm taking it. One of these days, these are going to have to be put away, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How come we don't have 10 people fighting over each other? Let me do it. No, you don't ever have a problem like that in church, do you?
No.
We need to get involved. And he was willing to get involved. He was willing to trust himself to the protection of God. Mm-hmm. What time is this over? I can never remember. Okay, good. He was willing to trust himself to the protection of God. Numbers 14, verse number 10. Numbers 14, verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. You see, they were ready to stone Joshua and Caleb because they were standing in the minority. They were standing with God, saying, yes, we can. God promised us the land. By the way, as I said last week, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So the land today still belongs to Israel.
Right.
It's their land. Palestinians have no right to it. They're the interlopers. There were no Palestinians before Israel. And God gave the land to Israel. That's just a freebie. It has nothing to do with the message. Other than this, we can trust God to be faithful. And so Caleb said, hey, you know, can you imagine 3 million people are coming at you to stone you to death? The guys in the Alamo had a better chance than that. Okay. The guy, what's the Thermopylae? What's that? What did I say that? What is Thermopylae? Thermopylae. The 300 Spartans against a million or so Phoenicians or whoever they were. Iraqis, I think. Persians. Persians, they were Persians. So I was right, they were Iraqis. Persians. And they had a better chance than half a dozen guys against 3 million.
Right.
With one exception. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we were trusting the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
And they trusted in God.
That's right.
Not the numbers. And God's glory appeared. Boy, that's a good thing when that happens, amen? Opposition kind of melts away when God shows up. The centurions at the tomb kind of fall over when the angels come up.
Right.
When they come to conquer or to capture Jesus, he just walks away. And the whole mob, he's in the midst of them, and nobody grabs him because it wasn't his time. And Caleb trusted God. And as long as you're trusting God and you're in God's will, you're not going to die one moment before the appointed time. It's appointed unto man but wants to die, and after that, the judgment. It's appointed. That means you have an appointment. And you may be late for the dentist. You may be late for the doctor. You may be late for school.
Amen.
Oh, this hurts. You might even be late for church. But you won't be late for your death. Now, you can speed the process up and go a little bit earlier if you're dumb, you know. But as long as you use sense and you live in God's will, you're just as safe here, sitting in this church pew, as you are at home or in a war zone, if you're in God's will. There was a guy asleep on his couch. Now, how many of you feel pretty secure when you're asleep on your couch at home? And a drunk came over, this happened in Douglas, and hit the curb, jumped the curb, slid clear across the lawn into the apartment in the very room that guy was in, and hit the couch he was sleeping on. Now, he survived. But how many of you expect to go home and take a nap today? Now, there's a bunch of liars out there. Raise your hands. How many expect to go home and take a nap today? All right. Now, do you think you're going to get hit by a car taking a nap today? No. There was a postman walking his route in Germany years and years and years ago. Oh, this might have been 20, 30 years ago. A postman delivering the mail, and an F-16 landed on him.
Whoa. Wow.
Engine failure, some kind of catastrophic failure. Pilot ejected, the plane came down. Now, do you think you could have talked to him at 8:30 in the morning? Don't go on your route today. Don't go to work. Why? Because an F-16 is going to land on you.
Whoa.
You think he would have believed that? No. You're not any safer here or there if you're out of the will of God. If you're in the will of God, you're as safe as you're going to be, and you're not going to die before your time. He trusted God. He trusted God. God took care of it. He got to go into the land. Amen? Now, he had an advantage. He knew God was going to take care of him in this case because God already promised him that mountain. And he hadn't had that mountain yet, so he knew it was going to happen. So he trusted in God. Kind of like Peter. Peter, Jesus said, hey, when you're an old man, okay, you know the story. He said, you know, when you're an old man, somebody will lead you where you don't want to go and blah, blah, blah. And he gets arrested. They put him in prison. They're going to kill him the next day. He was sound asleep, shackled to guards. He was so asleep, so sound asleep, when an angel came up to free him, the angel said, Peter, Peter! The angel had to slap him to wake him up. He was sound. Why could he be so confident? Because Jesus said, you're not going to die young, you're going to die old. He didn't know how he was going to escape, but somewhere between now and tomorrow, he was going to be relieved. He wasn't going to die because he wasn't an old man yet. Learn to trust in God and actually commit your life to him. Now, another attribute is he's willing to take a back seat to a peer, to an equal. Mm-hmm. You see, children of Israel came to Joshua when Moses died. Mm-hmm. Joshua was chosen to be the leader of the children of Israel. God's going to fulfill his promise. He's going to send the children in, but he's going to appoint a man to lead them. Mm-hmm. And the children of Israel came unto Joshua. They were at Gilgal, I believe. And Caleb came with them. You know, Caleb said, whoa, wait a second. I went in the land too. Wait a second. I brought back a good report.
Yes, sir.
Wait a second. I fought the Lord's battles too. Wait a second. I've been faithful. I've been loyal. But he didn't have one word of protest. God chose Joshua. Boom. He got right in line, started following him just like he followed Moses, and gave Joshua the loyalty that he gave Moses. That comes back to that saying, you sure can get a lot of work done if you don't care who gets the credit. But come on now. Don't we all have just a little bit of pride? And we want our name on the final report, who got this done? So he's willing to take a back seat to Joshua.
Amen.
And what I really like, well, there's two things I like. Joshua 14 and verse number 9. So just continuing the story, they go into the promised land. Okay. Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 9. And they're dividing up the land. Okay, the 40 years have passed. Okay. Now, probably several years have gone by, so we're pushing 43, 45 years. And look at verse number 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He's just reminding Joshua of what Moses told him 45 years ago. Pretty patient man, if you ask me. How many of us be willing to wait 45 years for something? And yet he did. He did. So he was a patient man. He knew God keeps his word. And the time may be long, sort of like vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. The time may be long and we don't see any vengeance, and we don't see where wrong has been made right. We don't see the unjust punished. We don't see the just vindicated. And wait and wait and wait and wait. But in God's time, vengeance will be meted out. In God's time, the righteous will be vindicated. About, let me see, almost 40 years ago, I was at work. I was doing labor work, doing construction. Say 37, 38, 39 years ago. I was doing some work, and there was that cult somewhere over there called the Cave or something like that in Benson. And they made all these big glorious promises about the Lord's return. The Lord didn't return. It made the news. It was so big that the Tucson Red Star, or whatever, no, Tucson Star? Red Star. It's a communist paper, the Red Star. Tucson Star, whatever it was. They put out big, giant headlines. I mean, these headlines, you could read them from the back row. Those were the great big ones. Kind of like you ever seen that picture, World War II, where they stand up, the war's over, and you could read it from way back there, those big banner headlines. And what it said was, Jesus stood up.
Amen.
So-and-so. And I went to work that day, and those ungodly men that I worked around, they all had their newspaper, and there's a newspaper there, and they were laughing about this. And of course, you know, I tried to witness to them and so forth. And they said, well, Neil, where's Jesus? I see he stood him up. So he'd stand you up? I just laughed and said, you idiots. Just because some fool gets out there and makes promises he doesn't have the right to make, claims he doesn't have the biblical authority to claim, doesn't mean that God isn't coming back in his time.
Right.
And the Lord is coming back.
Amen. Sure is.
In his time.
I'm
you know, it seemed like I read a Bible verse. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. According to that, see, this is 2018.
Yep.
So this would be like, this is only 1 a.m. on the third day. Think about that. We got a long way to go, perhaps, or maybe we only have a couple moments
yes,
to
sir,
go.
We do. We do.
But he's coming back.
That's right.
He's coming back. I used to pray for his return so I could get out of this world.
Oh,
that's legitimate.
Same here.
But I learned something. Oh. There's a Bible verse talks about them that love the Lord's appearing.
Yes.
It isn't that we love to get out of this world. We love to see Jesus. Those folks are the ones who are going
to
get the reward. They're going to get that crown of righteousness. But those of us who are just looking to escape this world, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I like that.
But
what is better is his coming, not that I can leave this world, but that I can go and be with him.
Amen.
And it's him I want, not escape from the world. Now, I'll take escape from the world, amen? It comes with it.
Same here.
But that's not the main thing. I want to see him.
Yes,
in Joshua 14 and verse number 10, another great point is he served when he was an old man. Okay, I should have 4 minutes left, I think. He served when he was an old man. And in Joshua 14, verse 10, in part, it says, I am this day 85 years old. Folks, that's 85. Now, this was after the time when men lived to great ages. Like, you know, Abraham lived to be 175. People before that lived to be 900. Methuselah, 969 years old. Those are actual years, by the way.
Amen.
That's not a myth. That's not a story. That's how long they lived. They were closer to the original creation. The environment was different before the flood. There's an increase in air pressure. We go on and on. Lots of reasons, and the world wasn't loaded up. The gene pool wasn't loaded up with all the consequences of sin. And yet here he is at 85. Past the time when people lived those great ages. And he is ready to go in and fight with the enemies of God. He served God as an old man. If I can do anything in my life as an old man, I want to serve God.
Amen.
And I love to see people who serve God their whole lives. And then, one last thing before I conclude. He gave one of his daughters to a man who was godly, who knew how to work and who had the power of God upon his life. And in Joshua 15, verse 16, where'd it go? And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sephar and taketh it, to him will I give Ashbaz, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave Asaph, his daughter, to wife. So here is a man who knew how to get a hold of the power of God and how to use that power for God. And he was victorious in his service for God. And he said, that's the kind of man I want my daughter to marry. Now, we don't do that this day and age in our society where we appoint who you're going to marry, our children, who they're going to marry. But parents, you do have some influence, and you can guide them. And rather than your daughters go to the U of A the first year out of high school, maybe they ought to go to what's Brother Treber's church? Golden State Baptist. Or maybe they ought to go to West Coast or some church like that or some college like that. Now, if you didn't do that, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, you know where you catch fish? Where the fish are.
That's right.
And you know where you catch godly people? On the bar, down at the bar on Friday night. In church and Bible colleges. Yeah, you can get a loser anywhere, even in Bible college. But at least you got better hopes there. So just something to think about. He had a concern for the next generation. So concluding, God was willing to bless Caleb because he followed him fully. And since we have an unchanging God, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not, then I think we could expect God to do the same for his people today. If we follow God wholly, then I think God can bless us.
Amen.
And I think time's up. I have 10:30. 10:30, we're done. All righty. So don't forget the Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 6:1. Memory verse, I mean. And I hope you learned something from these lessons. And let's have a word of prayer.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time and for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that it helps somebody. Lord, it helped me, and I pray that it would help somebody else. Most of all, Lord, I pray that we'd be able to take what we learned today and apply it to our routine daily lives, that we might be a better person, that we might be more Christ-like. And in doing so, Lord, I pray the Lord Jesus Christ would receive full credit and glory for the change within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we are